Well, good evening. I'm Pastor Jack, and I'm looking forward to tonight's lesson in theology. Tonight, we are seeking to answer the question, how can we know God? How can we learn about God? And so this series is going to be theology lessons in 30 minutes or less. So we're going to jump right into it tonight. Our starting point, we said last week in theology, was to be able to know God. In order to be able to know God, our starting point had to be God Himself. So it's God's self-revelation. So the way you view life and the way you view theology, it all starts with assumptions you make, or presuppositions, we could call them. They're things that you assume to be true. And as we study about God, we're assuming really two things. We're assuming that God is. God exists. God has declared that from the very first verse in the scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're assuming that God is. And then secondly, we're assuming that God is who He says He is. So we're assuming that the Bible then is an authoritative record of who God is. So as we study theology, we're going to explore all sorts of different topics with the goal of seeing what has God said about Himself in relation to this, and what has God taught us about how we should think about these things. How is it that we learn about God? The simple answer is to say, the Bible. That's how we learn about God, from the Bible. But can you learn about God apart from the Bible? What about people before the Bible was written? How did they know about God? Or what about people who live far away from the places where the Bible was written? How would they know about God? What about now? Different people in different parts of the world don't have access to the scripture. So how can they know God? How can they learn the truth about God? How can you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God exists and that He loves you and that you can know Him and you can have a real relationship with Him? Well, Psalm 19 will help us answer those questions tonight. And I'm going to read just the first six verses to get us started. And we're going to see three ways that we can learn about God. We can learn about God from His Word in the heavens. This is what we're going to read in Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run a race." So back in the very first verse of this, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. God has revealed Himself to every person through creation. We call this His general revelation, because everyone who is alive and aware receives this revelation. Psalm 19, 1 through 6 declares how God speaks to us through the heavens. It is the heavens, the world, the creation, that is our first source of knowledge about God. It's amazing because this knowledge is accessible to all. I mean, the sky is visible from everywhere, as long as you get out of the smog, right? God shows Himself in this way to all people of all languages. You don't need to learn the language, you just need to open your eyes. And when a person looks up at the sky, the universe itself attests that a creator is there and that he is awesome. The term here, the glory of God, literally speaks of God's weightiness or significance. And that's precisely what happens when you look up in the sky at night and you see the vastness of the stars and the planets and the universe. The one who created these things must be vastly superior to us. He's truly amazing and powerful. So the heavens declare the glory of God. They declare His greatness as well. Through God's creation, we see His handiwork. Notice back in the scripture, it says the firmament shows His handiwork. The firmament's referring to the skies. Just looking around at the universe shows not only the immensity of God's power, but it shows the ability. It shows not just His glory, but it shows His greatness. There is immense power to create the world. It is out of nothing that God has made everything. Truly, truly remarkable. As Christians, we approach understanding the world and understanding God with this assumption that God is self-existing. He has created the world. The world is separate from Him, and He is the source of all things. That's the way the Bible presents God. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's out of who God is that He spoke and created all the world. When you think of the heavens and the incredible size of them, it's truly amazing. I'm told that light travels at 186,282 miles per second. How fast is that? Well, if you count 2 seconds off, 1,001, 1,002, light has already gone from where we're at past the moon. Traveling more, it would take 4.5 years for light to reach our closest star. And traveling at that incredible rate, it would take billions of years for light to reach the ends of what we know of the universe. God made all of those things. As vast and amazing as they are, the incredible immensity of creation shows how great God is. But it's not just the immensity of creation, it is the intricacy of creation. Because we can get our telescopes and look as far as we can, and we can see more and more and more. And we can turn around and get our microscope, and we can look down as small as we can see, and there's more. God has truly made an amazing creation. And when you look at the heavens and the earth, they declare the glory of God. They declare God's greatness. Verse number 2 says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. What this means here is that God has created the universe with an order. There is day after day, night after night. God has created things perfectly. He has set them in their proper order. There is a beauty and an order to creation. The rest of this psalm pictures God's voice like the sun that shines from one end to the world to the other. It rises up in the morning, it sets in the evening, and these things reflect the glory and greatness of God. So this is one way that we learn about God. So can you learn about God just by going out in the woods? Some people say, oh, I don't need to go to church because I can learn about God out on the lake or up on the mountain or out on the ocean. Just me and God. Well, it is true that God speaks through general revelation. He speaks His word through the heavens. And this general revelation does convey to us a great deal about God's power, His wisdom, His goodness, His majesty as the Creator. But it's limited to what we can observe. If you remember last week, I said that if we are going to know God, it's going to be more than just what we can figure out. Remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "Oh, we know this, we know this." And Jesus basically made it clear to him he didn't know anything. What he needed to know was what Jesus was going to reveal to him with his words. And it's true for us that the general revelation is great and it's wonderful, but it's not enough. And listen, God never intended for it to be enough. He never intended for just the majesty of His creation to be the final word about who He is or what He's trying to accomplish in the world. No, God always knew that we needed more than that. Because when He put Adam and Eve in the garden, He didn't create them and then just leave them there to figure things out. What did God do? He spoke to Adam. He breathes into him the breath of life, and then He begins giving him instructions. He tells him how he's got a role to play in creation. He's to rule over it. He's to name the animals. He's to subdue the earth. And He has given a wife to be his partner to do this great task that God has given him. So God is speaking to Adam. He's intending for man at the very beginning to have more than just the evidence of creation. He is intending him to have more than just the general knowledge of him. He's giving specific knowledge. And without that specific knowledge, we'd be in trouble. Because we need to know not just that God is great, we need to know how we relate to Him. How can we worship Him? How can people like us who are so little and small compared to the vastness of the universe, how can we know this Creator? How can we be in a right relationship with Him? How can we please Him? How can we do our part? These are all things we would not know without the revelation that God gives us by speaking. So Psalm 19 goes right into this. It's a psalm of praise to God for the revelation that He gives us in creation, but then it moves beyond the general to the specific. And this is where we learn about God, not just from His word in the heavens, but from His word in our hands. The Bible, at least it's in our hands today. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Here, the psalmist has gone. If you've got a Bible with you and you look at Psalm 19, in verse number 1, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." He uses the generic term God to describe the ultimate one, the creator of heaven and earth. But now in verse 7, when he moves to talking about more specific revelation, that is the writings, the words of God, he also uses the more specific name of Yahweh for God. In our English translation and on your screen, it's represented as all caps for the word Lord. So the law of Yahweh, the law of our God that's revealed to us in the Bible is perfect, converting the soul. God must reveal Himself to us for us to know Him. And God has revealed Himself as Creator through His works of creation and providence, but especially through His Word. It is the written record that reveals God to us, not just as Creator and Master, but as Redeemer and Friend. Notice how Psalm 19 continues to describe the Word of God. It says it's perfect, converting the soul. It's through the knowledge that we get from the Scripture that we learn how to be born again. This converting of the soul, this turning to God. We learn how, as creation, to properly turn towards God only from the Scripture. It's only from God's Word we learn how to approach Him, how to be changed by Him. It goes on to say, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's through the Scriptures that we get real wisdom. It's where we get wisdom to know how to live and what to do, how to please God. Verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. How great is it to be able to go to God's Word and know that it's right and it's true and it brings joy to us. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And it's through the words of God that our eyes are opened. What opens our eyes to even understand general revelation, to understand the word written in the skies and the heavens, what opens our eyes to see that? Is it not the Word of God? Was it not God's word to Adam that told him to look at all the animals and to name them, that gave Adam a great awareness of the majesty and glory of God? It is when we look in the Word of God that we are best equipped to see the message of God in creation all around us. So God intended that from the very beginning, these two to work together. Not that it was good enough for us to just go out in the woods and think about God. No, we needed more than we can discover. We needed what God would reveal. So we learn about God from His Word in the heavens, general revelation, and His Word in the Scriptures. That is a very specific revelation. Now, going on in verse number 9, the Scripture says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And we're going to spend time talking about the Bible next week, but just quickly here, look at the next couple of verses. In verse number 10, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And the Word of God ought to be man's greatest, most valuable possession. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Scripture should be our greatest pleasure and joy. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. The Scripture is our greatest protection from evil. And in keeping them, there is great reward. It's the greatest provision that we have. The Word of God, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It is God's Word that is to be our greatest treasure. Listen, if you want to know God, yes, go outside and gaze at the stars. Yes, consider the amazing, immense, and intricate creation of God. Study it. Be in awe of God's great power and handiwork. But run to the Scriptures. The only way we can know God truly is to hear Him speak to us, to listen to His words. And it's in the Bible that we have that authoritative revelation from God. God has revealed Himself to us. So over the last week and today, I've been just trying to introduce to you this idea of studying the Word to know God. And I want to just make it so clear to you, and I want to make you have just a hunger and a thirst for the Bible, like the psalmist says here, that it would be what we desire above gold. It would be sweeter to us than the greatest taste. It's what we desperately want, because the Scripture is how we can know God. The greatest questions that people have, the Scriptures have the answers for. The Scriptures tell you how you can know God, how you can be at peace with God. The scriptures tell us how to live as God's people, how a husband should treat his wife, and how a wife should respond to her husband, and how they should raise their children together. God's word has the answers. Yes, look around and observe what you can, but look down into his word and observe all there is to know from the great mind of God. The way we're going to be studying theology here is we're going to try to study systematic theology. Now, what I mean by systematic theology is we want to see what does all of Scripture teach us about various topics. You may wonder about what's coming in the future. You may look around at current events and say, what's going on here? How is this going to end? How does this fit in with what the Bible says about the end times? Well, in due course, we are going to look at that. You may wonder about how can God be so great and so mighty, and yet it seems like there's chaos going on. It seems like things are out of control. We're going to look again at the scripture and see from beginning to end, not by looking at the whole Bible and every topic, but trying to look in these 30-minute sessions at little glimpses of the true teaching about God and His ways through the Scripture. And I'm excited about doing that with you. So we're going to try to collect and understand the relevant passages in the Bible on these key topics of concern, and then summarize them clearly so that we know what the Bible teaches about each of the topics. So, we can learn about God from the heavens. Psalm 19, very clear on that. We can learn about God from His Word. We could say that's His Word in our hands, as opposed to creation, His Word in the heavens. We can learn about God from both of these. But there's still one more. It's hinted at in Psalm 19, but it's most clear in Romans 2, verse 14 through 16. We can also learn about God from His Word written in our hearts. Romans 2 and verse number 14, it says, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excluding them." Ecclesiastes 3:11 says God has put eternity in the hearts of men. In the heart of man is a knowledge that there is a God. In the heart of man is a knowledge of what's right and wrong. And if you notice these verses in Romans, verse 15, the end of the verse says, between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. That's describing the work of your conscience. When you do something you shouldn't do, it's your heart that's accusing you, you're wrong, or your heart trying to make up excuses for why you did it. This is God's word written in our hearts. Our God is so great and He's so merciful that He wants every person to know Him. And so He reveals Himself in some way to every person through creation, through their conscience. But most clearly, He reveals Himself through the Scriptures. And that's why it's so vital that you and I take what we hear in God's Word and we apply it to our lives and we declare it to others. So how do we know God? How do we know the big questions, answers to big questions about life? It is through His Word, His speaking to us. And all of this leads us to know that we can know God and we can worship Him. We can have a relationship with Him based not on just our understanding, but on His revelation. The end of Psalm 19 really speaks to these very needs. And I want you to consider it in our last couple of minutes together. Psalm 19, 12 through 14 really hints at God's work in our own hearts to teach us. David says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." It is from God's word, as he speaks to us in the heavens, in our hands with the Bible and in our hearts, that we know he's there. And we know that he has revealed himself to us. And we know we need to be in a right relationship with him. How can we do that? Well, we know him as creator, but we also need to know him as redeemer. The gospel is really summed up in those two titles of God. He created all things. He's Lord of everything. Man is made under him. Man is responsible to his creator. And yet man has rebelled against him. We can look in scripture and see that. And we can look in the world around us and see people doing evil things, which are clearly not what we were created for. So we see that. We see the results of it, the destruction, and ultimately the death it brings. So that's God the Creator. But he is also our Redeemer. And that's revealed most clearly for us in Scripture. In Scripture, we have God the Redeemer. Jesus, the Son of God, came to live a perfect life, to be righteous like we could not be righteous, and to die in our place, to pay the penalty that we could not pay, so we could be cleansed and forgiven. We could be at peace with God. All that's left for you to know God is for you to recognize he's revealed himself as Creator. He is your Lord. He is over all, and he's revealed himself as your Redeemer. If you will turn to him in faith, he will cleanse you of your sins. He will forgive you, and you can know him. You can know him not just far off, but very near. Not just as a distant God, but as your Lord, your strength, and your Redeemer.